Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Joseph Finder. He's a best-selling author, and he is the author of the brand new novel, Judgment. It is just a fantastically entertaining novel about a judge from Boston who goes to a conference in Chicago. It's a female judge. She's married with a child. She ends up stepping out in her marriage, having what she thinks is a one-night stand in Chicago, and then things go awry when she finds out that it was not just simply a random hookup in Chicago. Joseph, I love the premise of this book, that how you can essentially blackmail a state court judge. Can you take me back to the thoughts I'm sure you talk to judges and research about how judges can subject themselves to these type of things, because we've heard about it from the White House on down, how government officials can be subject to blackmail.
Yep, that's right. That's right. The thing about judges is we respect them. They're important figures in our society, and yet they're very vulnerable. They have to be on their best behavior in public. They can't or shouldn't get speeding tickets or parking tickets or that kind of thing, and they're also vulnerable to blackmail, as I sort of sketch out in Judgment.
Did you go through several different scenarios as to how a judge can open himself or herself up to blackmail? Because this seemed to be the absolute perfect scenario, because it's something you don't want getting out in your home life or in your professional life.
Right, exactly. Well, I sort of base this on the Russian notion of this word they use called kompromat, where they basically, it's the use of video or compromising information to force someone to do something, to blackmail them. So I sort of based it on that, and I set up a situation where once she has made this bad decision, her life basically turns upside down. I mean, she has to resort to friends, she has to resort to private investigators, she has to sort of do what she can to dig herself out of this hole she's in.
You really get into the mind of a judge as you write from her perspective in this book, and there's several observations she makes. One of the ones that I loved is that she says when you're a judge, you have to realize half the people in the courtroom think that you're just barely smart enough to get by, the other half just think you're plain stupid. Those come from somewhere.
That's one of the judges I talked to told me that. Yeah.
and I figured that's a great line, and I figured that's where it came from. But when you get in the mind of these type of people, judges are very reclusive people from what I think. I think they're a lot like writers. They spend a lot of time writing and doing research, and those are just little observations they make. They really don't have an outlet for those type of things, and only in a novel can that type of stuff come out.
Very good. Exactly right. They don't have an outlet for that sort of thing. They can't talk about it. Maybe in private they do. And this Judgment sort of came to me because I was talking to a judge, a friend of mine, about that. And I just said, don't you have to be so nervous? I mean, you've got to be, everything you say is being recorded. You know, it could be used against you in an appeal. People are looking to try to get you thrown off the bench. This happens all the time. So I sort of started with that idea, what would happen if a judge who's really ambitious and really on her way up is sort of entrapped for some reason she doesn't understand, and she has to figure out what's going on in order to get herself out of it if she can.
The other aspect of this book is the home life between the judge and her husband and dealing with this stepping out in the marriage. And I don't want to give anything away, but when you address that type of a situation between a husband and wife, you really have to get into what each of them thinks about, because it seems like men can step out all the time, and you really point this out in the book, women do it once and they're whores.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right. That's why I made the judge in Judgment a woman. Because I knew that if it was a man, people just tend to be more forgiving. With women, they're more judgmental. Women and men are more judgmental about women who do that than about men who do that.
And of course, one of her best friends in the book is a female. And so, to get that perspective, I thought it was interesting to get it from an older lady's perspective. I mean, not old, but seasoned. And she was really her only friend in the book, right?
Yeah, she's her best Not her only one, but she's her best friend, and she is wise. This is Martha Connolly, a judge herself, retired Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Massachusetts, and she's been around. She's wise. She's tough. She smokes cigars. You know, she's sort of an interesting, eccentric character.
The PI character as well, who I thought was very interesting, reminded me of sort of a Harry McGraw, if you remember that show from the back late 80s, early 90s, whenever that was on. Are PIs still a big thing in Boston?
Yeah, I mean, they exist. The fact is, it's funny that, you know, PIs have this reputation from the books and the movies, and you sort of think of them as being creations of the 40s and the 50s. You know, do PIs really exist? PIs are actually more and more employed by big business, by business people, by wealthy people, by lawyers, and PIs have gotten more and more invested, more sort of clever in terms of what they can do, what they can find out from you, when they find out from a phone or from hacking into an email or that sort of thing. There are things that a PI can do that they shouldn't do, that are illegal, but that some PIs still do anyway.
And the technology seems to think it really goes against the grain of the PIs I think of are all 60 years old or so, but that isn't the generation that knows this technology, right?
No, that's right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and in fact, you know, my PI, Hirsch, he doesn't really know the technology either. He has to sort of sub out to some Ukrainian guy to do the hacking that they're trying to do in this book.
The emotions that your main character goes through here in the book, and as not only what's going on in her family life, but in her professional life as well, how is it that you were able to keep her such a straight and narrow, just kind of straying a little bit past the borderline? Because the internal struggles for that type of situation must be awful.
The internal struggle is what?
The struggles that the judge, that the main character in the book, you would think those would be awful, but she really seemed to stay close to the borderline and didn't go too far one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, she's an interesting character, Judge Brody, because judges have a certain personality. They tend to be the people who sort of cross their T's and dot their I's and sort of do everything by the book. And that is the way she has been raised. That's the way she has sort of been so successful. And yet she finds herself in this unknown world where she has to hire people to do things that are illegal or that are just not done by judges. And yet, I wanted to make sure that she didn't go too far. I wanted her to be as plausible and, in some ways, as conservative as possible. I wanted her to be sort of a plausible judge all the way through, someone who could sort of, we could believe her staying on the bench. She's not going to go out and kill some guy, you know, with a take a gun and kill someone. She's not going to be Dirty Harry, Dirty Harriet, or anything like that.
The thing I...
She's got to be tough.
She's
a badass.
She is, but what I took out of it is that she wasn't afraid to ask for help. I think a lot of the judges that I know would probably try to internalize this and handle it themselves, and we always make the joke that, you know, you're a fool if you're your own lawyer or something like that, but
yeah.
She didn't do that here, and so she's pretty intelligent.
Yeah, 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 and plus I wanted to show her friends. I mean, she's not an isolated person. She's surrounded by some good friends and especially one mentor. And you know, that's part of the characterization. Is I wanted to show that she relies on the help of friends, and they don't always have the answer.
All right. Well, this was about a 2.5-hour read for me, cover to cover in one sitting. It was a fantastic story. It entertained me so much. It's Joseph Finder's new novel, Judgment. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Go pick it up. You won't be disappointed. And just put his name in and buy anything he's ever written because they're all fantastic. Joseph, great book. Great book. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.